Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. Our guest speaker today is Bishop Joel David Trout. We want to truly thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join Bishop Joel David Trout as he begins his message.
And so, without any further ado, let's all receive Bishop Joel David Trout by saying, "Praise the Lord."
God bless you. It's good to be at Amazing Grace. And I love the name of this church because it's a reminder that we're not here because we're so good. It's a reminder that God's grace has been amazing. And it hasn't been normal. It's been amazing because our need was amazing. And so today, we want to share in the word. I have a deliverance word for you today. But I want to sing a couple songs. Is that okay? I love the praise and worship today. Enjoyed you there, B.B. King. Appreciate you, man. Really blessed. Yeah, there it is. There it is. But I'm grateful for those that have come with me today. Thank God for my kids. That's my youngest daughter, Symphony, and my grandbabies, Skylar and Jet. And my great son-in-law, Bryant Johnson. Appreciate y'all. They like to help their father, and I appreciate their moral support. Also, Minister Vanessa and Winston Morris over here. Thank you for joining me today. My Facebook friend, Thane Sevier. We've never met, but we've talked a lot. So thank God for Facebook, social media. There are some very small good benefits in social media. So we're grateful and thankful for your great leadership here, Pastors Yolanda and Fee Placido Sullivan. Let me just say this about Pastor Sullivan. I believe he has, as a pastor, personally baptized more people in San Diego than any pastor. I've been here a long time. Most pastors have someone who baptizes. This guy, since he stepped out in ministry, has been baptizing, and I don't know if you've ever stopped to count how many, but when he got the revelation of the name of Jesus, he just went full bore, and even as a support minister at other churches, he was baptizing in his spa at his house. And I just want to thank God for you adding so much to the kingdom of God, Pastor. Let's give God a hand for great leadership. We need good leadership at hours like this. Pastors have had to navigate through a period that we've never experienced before. So if your pastor is still standing and hasn't lost his mind, you need to thank God for him. Pastors that are used to preaching to a group of people and then having to preach to an empty room. You don't understand the psychological impact that's had on them, especially because we're used to response or a nod of a head or something, and then to be in your bedroom, your living room, talking to a screen and not knowing what's going to happen, and then doing funerals after funeral after funeral. So I applaud you for standing through the storm, and look what God has done in the process, gave you a new building in the process. How about that? God can bless you even in a pandemic. I just want to sing a couple songs before we minister today. And Pastor said, I set up the keyboard and everything for you. So thank you, Pastor Sullivan. I don't know if you set up the keyboard right, but we'll see in a minute. God is in this house. You may be seated in the name of Jesus. If you ever find yourself in a fix, call on the name and plead the blood. Amen. Call on a name. Don't call 911 first. Call on the name of Jesus. His name literally means Jehovah is my salvation. So whatever the circumstance is that requires deliverance, there's a name for deliverance. That's the name Jesus. And I feel led of God to speak concerning deliverance this morning. Deliverance. And today the deliverance is going to come. I understand we have a healing room after service, and I want to prepare your hearts for the healing. I do believe that there are some who are sick because of something internal that they have actually internalized. It's not physical, it's spiritual, but it's manifesting in the physical realm. Hence, the doctors can't find it on an MRI, but you know what you feel. It's manifested as headaches, it's manifested as depression, it's manifested as pain in your neck or back or in your belly. And this deliverance is going to come through a simple application today. In fact, if you engage in heaven's prescription, you will leave here free. You will leave here delivered out of. My message today is forgive and live. Forgive and live. You know, there are challenges given to us in the scripture. Some of the challenges I read, I'm going to be honest with you. Can I be honest with you? I scratch my head and say, God, how do you expect me to? For example, he says, be holy as I'm holy. And I'm trying to tell God, I'm a wretch undone. I'm not just wretched, I'm ratchet. And some days I feel like a nut, some days I don't. I can't get it together all the time, and yet his word says, be holy, for I am holy. Then God tells me to love my neighbors and to love my enemies. And once again, I'm challenged. And as an outgrowth of love, then he says, forgive the jokers. Forgive them who despitefully use you. And so I'm once again pushed back. And I'm amazed at those who seem to live as if they've got it all together. But you know what? God would not give me a challenge in scripture and not enable me to do it. And so today, out of holiness and love, I want to deal with this one. Because if you can get this one, you'll get the holiness and the love part down. And that is forgiveness. Forgive and you will live. Now, I've been preaching this for the last month. I can't get leave of it. Trust me, I've preached. So I've got thousands of messages that I preach. I don't have to repeat any message. But when the Holy Spirit puts his hand on my back and the burden of the Lord comes upon me, then I have to speak what he impresses me to speak on. And he let me know there's someone here who's going to leave here free. Before you get to the healing room, your deliverance is going to come in your seat. I don't believe in giving people a nice little message that is nicely theological and hermeneutically sound for them to say, ooh, what a nice little message. I believe in moving the needle. I believe in transformation. You can get information from anywhere, but you get transformation through the word of God. Thank you, Jesus. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. And so this is not going to be complicated, but it's going to be life-changing. I'm not going to give you this magical clue at the end. I'm going to tell you in the front how to forgive. The deliverance, the information, the blessing is in the word itself, forgive. The secret is in the word, forgive. Before I tell you what that is, I want you to think about that person whose picture of their face came up when I said forgive and live. Because when I speak of forgiveness, somebody pops up in your mind. Might be a family member. You know, we're born in families, but there's no guarantee we're going to like each other. Just because we have the same blood doesn't mean we like each other even. There may be someone in your life who you need to forgive, and that's the one we're coming for today. The one, I'm not talking about the one that didn't even come to your mind, but the one whose name or face popped up. And the hair in the back of your neck rose when I said forgive and live. That's the one God wants today. And in the message, I hope to show you that there is a release that God has in heaven waiting for your next forgiveness that will bless your life. The secret is in the word forgive. Give is the key to forgiveness. That's it. Give. If you have the capacity to give to someone who's brutally hurt you, you have forgiven. The capacity, watch this, to bless someone who has hurt you is breaking the back of unforgiveness. Now, I want you to imagine your enemy without. I want you to imagine them dying in a desert, and you've got water, and you have their only source of life in your hand. Can you see yourself giving them that water? Or do you hear yourself saying, serves you right? Or if your enemy, I want you to picture this. Your enemy is on the side of the road, Sweetwater Road, as you leave here, and they're stuck on the side of the road, and they need help changing their tire. I want you to picture that. Could you have the capacity to stop and say, do you need help? But before it ever even happens, I want you to hypothetically see yourself. Can you see yourself behind your enemy and they're at the counter and they're buying something and they're short of money? And they don't see you, but you see them. And you're looking around at the embarrassment on their face. And you're like, yes. I want you to see yourself. Could I, in that moment, say, hey, Ray, I got your $5 you need? Or would you let them walk away embarrassed and shamed and feel good about it? Because they actually owe you $1,000. Serves you right. Don't mess with God's anointed. But that doesn't reveal anything but that you're like everybody else. You see, Jesus said in Luke, the 6th chapter, oh, I feel an unction to function today. Jesus said these words in Luke 6 and 32. For if you love them which love you, what thank have you? For sinners also love those that love them. Jesus said, you want some award because you love folk that love you? Jesus says, the worst sinner in town does that. And you want us to, woo, he loves people that love him. But look how Jesus refines it. If you do good to them that do good to you, what thanks have you? Sinners also do even the same. You see, we call ourselves believers, but when's the last time you can say you did something that was beyond the earth and that it could only be ascribed to as that's the God in me? Because everything else I'm doing, the best sinner in town can do. I can shout, I can sing, I can dance, I can speak in tongues, but I can't say hi to you. Help me, God. Or there's a father who I haven't talked to in years and I know where he lives and I refuse to say a word to him. And the Lord is saying, so what glory is in that? I certainly am not glorified. Oh, God, help me. Verse 35, but love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. Your reward shall be great. You shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful, to the evil. Well, God. So he says, guess what? Your reward will be great if you can somehow love your enemy. Forgive and live. I'm not telling you something Jesus didn't do. John the 13th chapter. Jesus was on his way to the cross of Calvary. And he says, let's meet one more time, fellas. He gathered the disciples around and Judas. Jesus knew the plot of Judas. And he knew how it was going to end. All the other disciples had no idea. In fact, in John 13, Jesus said, one of you sitting around here is going to betray me. And they said, no way. Jesus said, yes, one of you will betray me. He it is in John 13, 26, whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Now, Jesus said, watch, because the one I dip this bread in the gravy in and give it to him, that's the one that's going to betray me. But they didn't catch it, because if they'd have caught it, they would have beat up Judas. So watch this. Jesus before the cross says, I need to take care of some business because I know who's going to betray me. And I got to take care of some stuff before I get to the cross. And what I got to take care of is to make sure that I do the forgiveness stuff before I get to the cross. Because I got to forgive some folks at the cross. Hallelujah. So Jesus gives sop to Judas. But watch what happens. He says, and after the sop, Satan entered into him. Jesus said, whatever you do, do quickly. And here is the masterful moment. Verse 31. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now, everyone shout now. Now. Is the Son of Man glorified? And God is glorified in him. What is your now moment? You see, when Jesus gave Judas the sop, Jesus could have directed that morsel down his throat and told it to stop in his esophagus. And Judas would have died of suffocation, because they didn't know Heimlich back then. And no one would have known it was Jesus who killed Judas. But he let him eat it, and walk out. And Jesus says, you guys just don't know what just happened now. The Son of Man has just been glorified. Now, what does glorified mean? Glorification is when you see the radiance of God's presence or character displayed. That's called glory. Jesus says, you guys just don't know what happened. Glory just happened. I just gave some food to the one who's about to do me dirty. That was a glory moment. When's the last time you could say, now?
Lord, have mercy.
In fact, your glory moments are not going to be known by anybody but you many times. Because only you know what they did to you. And only you know what you could have done to them. Hallelujah. And only you know the blessing you gave to them and how you let your enemy get away. And you can say, now, I know I'm saved. If there's a heaven, heaven belongs to me. Because Jesus said, you've seen the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. You see, I just did something that could only be done through God in me. Thank you, Jesus. Otherwise, we do stuff that sinners do. We go to work, we come home, make our money, take care of a family, start the routine all over again. That's what sinners do. But when it comes to forgiving, that's where we draw the line. And that's when the glory of the Lord comes upon you. But guess what? He said, I'm going to give you the key to the glory. Give them what they need.
Lord, have mercy.
And in fact, here's how we make progress to that. Because I don't know the damage that's been done to you. That's why you're real quiet right now. You don't know, Pookie Ray and them, what they did to me. You don't know what Lucita did to me. And Conchita. And Lupita. You don't know what they did to me, brother. I don't need to know. But I do know this. He said, pray for your enemies. Why did God say that? Because he knows that if you can at least give a prayer, you can break unforgiveness. You see, unforgiveness does more to the vessel in which it is stored than to the one that it's poured. You think you're getting back at someone for hating on them? It's actually eating away at you. Martin Luther King said, I will not allow my enemy to bring me down so much so as to make me hate him. I will not allow my enemy to bring me to a level in which I hate him. Somebody said, forgiveness is this. Forgiveness is like this. It's the fragrance that is left on the heel that just crushed a rose. You crush a rose, but you can't walk away without smelling like a rose.
Lord, y'all didn't catch that.
You crush the rose with your heel. Forgiveness is saying, I know you crushed me, but I'm going to leave a sweet fragrance on your heel. It Isn't that crazy stuff? That's crazy. So how do I get to that point? Well, get selfish about this. Here's how you reach that level where you can forgive people. Get selfish. I want God to forgive me. Because God knows I need it all the time. Do I have any real people here? Clap your hands if you know what I'm talking about. You see, when we get myopic and blinded to our own issues, that's when we pontificate and elevate ourselves to a position as if we're God. But if you realize that you need mercy and you need forgiveness, you'll stop and say, God, I need you to forgive me. Lord, have mercy. And forgive us our debts as we forgive. In other words, God, you don't have to forgive me if I don't forgive somebody else. Ooh. Help me, Holy Ghost. You don't owe me mercy if I can't be merciful to somebody else. I feel an anointing there. God, forgive me in the same way I forgive others. I'm going to tell you something. When God forgives you, he treats you as if it's never been done before. That's justification. He treats me just as if I never sin. And so you can measure your holiness. You are saved as far as your capacity is to forgive. Don't tell me you're saved if you don't have a record in your walk of ever forgiving someone that hurt you. You are only acting like sinners unless you can point to a moment that says, God is truly in me. I'm reminded of David in the Psalms. We love Psalms 23. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know how we interpret that? Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. In other words, God's going to set me up. He's going to pump me up. And then he's going to let my enemies sit and see me blow up. Oh, wait a minute, boo. You got that scripture wrong. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Like Jesus sitting at the dinner table with Judas. Lord, help me right now. Thou set up a table for me in the presence of my enemies so I can say, pass the grits to my enemy. So that I could say, would you like another drink of Courvoisier? So that I can bless my enemy at the table. Yes. You see, David experienced this. Saul, who was the king, who David served only for Saul to try and kill him. Thank you, Jesus. Saul tried to kill David, who all David did was help Saul. In fact, one time Saul
was chasing David, and David chased Saul and found Saul in a cave, totally vulnerable. Laying there, his men said, look what the Lord done. Get him, David. See how the Lord prepared for you, your enemy? David, all he did was cut a piece of Saul's tunic and went across the valley and said, wake up, Saul. Hey, bro. Saul looked down. He said, uh-oh. David had me. Later, when Saul died and was killed in battle, David one day said, is there anyone left from Saul's house that I can bless? Help me, Jesus. They said, well, Jonathan had a boy named Mephibosheth who we've been hiding from you, because most times kings destroy all the descendants of the previous king. David said, is there anyone left? They said, well, there is one, the grandson of Saul, and he's lame. David said, bring him here. Most kings would kill him to make sure that no one from that house could ever get him. David says, bring him to my house. And when they brought him, Mephibosheth fell on his face and said, I'm a dog in your presence. Please have mercy on me. David said, get him up. Sit him at my table. And I want from this day forward for him to be taken care of for the rest of his life. And to regularly sit and eat at my table. And you know what God said about David? That is a man after my heart. David said, thou preparest a table before me. So if God prepares one for me, I'm going to prepare one for my enemy. I'm going to prepare a table. Mephibosheth, you can eat at my table. In fact, you don't have an illness at my table, because the tablecloth is going to cover your feet that are lame. So when we talk about David, people always want to talk about he killed a guy and he committed adultery. But when God looked at David, he said, that's my boy. See, we want to focus on his sin. David understood forgiveness and he gave it. So today, I implore you, the table that God wants to set for you is so that you can bless your enemy. Because when you bless your enemy, God sees himself in your inner me. If you bless your enemy. Okay, let me back that up. If you bless your enemy, God will see himself in your inner me. God will be glorified. I felt that was a deliverance here in this room. I'm going to end it on this note. Read it when you get home. In the book of Job, the 42nd chapter, We know Job's story. He was sick. He was ill. He was rich. He was wealthy. He had it going on. God says, he's my man. He's righteous. And the devil said, he's only serving you because he's wealthy. God said, take all his money, but don't kill him. I will show you something. All of his money was gone. His children died. He was left penniless. And the devil said, he'll curse you. Job said, I'll not curse God. His friend said, Job, you did something wrong somewhere. And Job said, you are all physicians of no value. I was a righteous man. At the end of all his talk, the Bible says that at the end, when Job prayed for his friends, God turned his captivity. In other words, when Job prayed for his enemies, God released blessings back into his life. Not just blessings, double. And you know what I'm led to tell someone today? God wants to bless you even more right now. I'm going to think of this. Job was the wealthiest man in the area, and God said, he ain't wealthy enough. But I can't bless him right now because he's so full of himself. And I want to give him more. But the Bible says in Job 42, when he prayed for his friends who had become his enemy, God turned it around. So for someone today, God wants to release something that's been held up in the atmosphere. But he's asking you, can you pray for your enemy? Because I can release more into your bosom. Because when you give to him, guess what? I owe you more now. Well, Bishop, my daddy is dead. That no good dog. How can I give to somebody that's dead? God showed me. Blew my mind. You know what God showed me? When you can give someone who's dead honor even while they're dead, you're giving to your enemy. I've hated my daddy. No good dog he was. But watch this. I give honor to the memory of my father, who without him, I wouldn't have these beautiful dimples and this nice hair that I have. I have to give credit to my daddy. You know what you did? You just forgave because you gave to him. You gave honor to someone that hurt you. And it's going to break that bitterness, anger, resentment. And you're going to allow someone to hurt you twice. They hurt you when they were alive, and they still hurting you when they're dead. Oh, yeah. I'll not allow you to hurt me anymore. That's right. Lord, I thank God. You used to call him the sperm donor. Lord, thank you for Jim Bob David Jones Sr. I'm Junior. Thank you for using him to give me life. Whew. You just forgave. You gave. Jesus didn't tell Judas, I forgive you. What did he do? He did it. You see, you can say it, but not do it. And see, he actually did it.
Lord have mercy.
So my prayer for you is that God arranges a meeting between you and your enemy. Come on. I'm not praying that you avoid them. I'm praying that God set y'all up. because you're losing ground. You're not able to flow. You're not able to minister as you should. You're not even able to love because you have unforgiveness. And your kids are suffering because you can't even love them freely. Your prayers are hindered. You can't even get a good prayer through because God will always say, what about them? So it's to your benefit that God arranged a meeting. So until he arranges the meeting, you just pray, Lord, bless my enemy today. And don't make it general. Say who it is. Bless Clytemnestra Jones. Whatever she needs right now, do it. Watch this. Watch this. Oh, I love this. Thanks for the text message, God. I pray God to bless them, and then God sets it up so that I can do it. I would drop the mic right there, but I don't want to break it. Come on, bless my enemy! I love God. He gonna put the situation up, set it up, give you what you need, and say, okay, you're on now. Oh, I told you to do it. I am. Through you. Come on and give God a praise right now. So we're just going to have a deliverance moment right now. Here's your choice. You can leave here the same way you came. Bitter, old, mean, foggy. Or you can leave here free. It's like this. Come here, young man. Let me use you for a moment. When you have someone that you haven't forgiven in your life, hold your arm up. It's like you're handcuffed to them. So I don't care if you can go to Disneyland. You're still carrying them with you. You can go to Mazat Land with your boo. He's still there. Because you're handcuffed to your enemy. I hate him, I hate him, I hate him! And he's enjoying life with you. I don't know why I feel so heavy. Dang. It's a struggle. But here's what you do. You take him, and what you do is, hold your arm up, brother. He's God. You take him to God in prayer. Lord, I forgive him, I release him, and I handcuff him to you. And it's God who says, vengeance is mine. Sorry, bud. You got to deal with God now. Because if God was right, he would have to deal with my unforgiveness and him. So I'm like, mm-mm. And you walk away free. I don't know if there's someone here today who wants to say this, Lord, I'm ready to let them go. And Bishop, will you pray for me? This is a hard one. Because you want to tell me, you just don't know what they did to me. I don't have to know. We all got that person. I promise you, we all got them. This one molested me. This one abused me. This one left me. Whew. I'm here to tell you that God has the capacity to forgive them.
That's right.
And you might be mad at God for forgiving them. And God said, well, I tell you what, when you do your wrong, don't come to me and ask me to forgive you. It's deep, ain't it? That's some hard stuff to deal with. But guess what? You're losing life. You're losing time. They're going on about their business. And you're the one still stuck in 1968. I'm going to get to your year, 1979. Give me a year, Lord, that corresponds to when, 1984. He'll never guess. 2003. Because you remember the year when it happened. You wonder why? Because to keep the same anger up, you have to keep it alive. Because time does heal things. The further away you get from it. So how do I keep it fresh? I keep reliving it every day to keep it fresh. 2022. There's still meat on the bones. So here's a moment. I will pray and intercede with you, pray for you. If you're willing to come and just be transparent, say, hey, I'm sick and tired of carrying this guy around. Will you pray with me and for me? Come right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. This is called the altar, where you sacrifice. It's a sacrifice because you've become friends with your hatred. It's your buddy. You feed it every day. Are we going to be mad today? Yes. Are we going to hate them today? Yes. You live with them. Praise God. Well, here's what I'm going to do. At your seat. It's all right. You don't have to go to ER. We'll send the emergency team to your house. So let's engage in an exercise right now. Just want you to close your eyes. And I want you to get the person's face in your spirit. Their name in your spirit right now. We can break that hold and yoke over you even today. Hiya Masia. So with that person's face there before you, here's what you can do. You can say the words, I forgive you. But then beyond that, I want you to visualize yourself not hurting them, but blessing them. I want you to visualize yourself actually blessing that person. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, great is your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness. Hallelujah. We break the back of that burden, that depression. Oh, in the name of Jesus, right now, I speak the word of deliverance to you. Be free from that bondage. In the name of Jesus. Lord, as you have forgiven me, forgive my enemy for your name's sake. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Come on, Baba, see ya. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on and clap the victory right now. Clap the victory. Glory. I believe in practical ministry and ministering in a place where it becomes user friendly. So I just equip you with something you can take wherever you go now. Whatever happens, wherever you go, Alaska, New York, it'll work there. Because guess what? We're all going to be hurt some way, somehow, somewhere. It might happen tomorrow. Maybe you're like, I'm good, Bishop. Ain't nothing wrong. It's all right. Tuesday's coming. And you're going to have something now. Ooh, that thing's starting to wear on me. Oh, that's right. Give them. Forgive. Give. I don't know where this person is, but I will pray for them. Lord, help them. Whew. Feel better now. So today, before you leave, I pray, I brought 30 books. My latest book, The Death of Common Sense. And I don't want to go home with any books. The 20 apiece, they will bless your life. It will speak life and make you aware that you're not alone in what you're aware of. You know, because we look around the world and we're seeing things. You're like, am I crazy? And that's what I speak to in the book. To let you know you're not alone in your awareness of that which does not make sense. Buy, get one for somebody else. But I appreciate your support today. And I'll even sign it for you back there. All right? Bless you, Pastor. Thank you.
Amen. Hallelujah.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.